And welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And pleasure to have not one, but two of the attorneys from Tobias and Comer Law in studio with us this morning on Mobile Mornings. Desi Tobias and Lacey Smith, thank you both so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Dalton. Great to see you again.
Love Law 251, of course. Now, I've learned so much over the years talking with you guys about a manner of different things, and it's good to have both of you in at the same time. I keep reminding people, too, you know, we've done so many of these now. I say basically any question, any legal question you may have, I think we've just about covered it on all of our Law 251. So we have a lot of great archives, and you can find those at TobiasComerLaw.com, the Law 251 podcasts. But great to have you both in today. And I figured, why not talk about something that was recently in the news? And that's a verdict that came in earlier this month and regarding something tragic that happened up in Birmingham. A federal jury earlier this month awarded $7.5 million in punitive damages to the family of Reginald Adams. And Adams was an 18-year-old, had recently graduated from Pelham High School, and died after he drowned at River Chase Country Club in Hoover. And this happened back in 2023, August of 2023. Desi, for people who may not have seen the story, I know I talked about it some on Mobile Mornings once that news story broke, but can you kind of walk us through what that case was about?
Yeah, we like to say the case was as tragic as it was simple. Reginald was with several of his friends. One of them was a member at River Chase. They decided to go swim. There was a Shelby County regulation that applied, just like the permitting for a restaurant was the same as a pool, required them to have two certified lifeguards. And this was kind of the end of the summer, August 22 of 23. Some of the lifeguards had gone back. They chose to go without lifeguards and to basically ignore that rule that required two certified lifeguards. Mm. And they had a slide. It was 12 feet deep. Reginald went down the slide, and his friends looked at him, and he wasn't surfacing. They weren't really concerned at first. Then he went to the bottom. And there were a number of bystanders. There were 7-8 attempts to get them, go down there to get them. Some people risked their own life, but it was 7-8 minutes by the time he was able to surface. And somebody knew something about CPR. One of the members, he tried to resuscitate Reginald and couldn't. So very tragic, and we learned a lot and put on a lot in the trial about water safety and its importance, what lifeguards do, what they're trained to do, what the signs of drowning are, and how all of that could have made a difference here to save Reginald's life. And we're gratified by the jury's result because it does show how important it is. And if anything, we can tell the listeners out there, whenever you're around water, it's quick, it's simple, it can happen. At any kind of thought, take action and be aware.
Yeah, that is that's some great information there. And to have those two basically witnesses or the experts in that, I'm sure you learned a lot from that. You mentioned the two lifeguards that should have been there. And I know in a lot of the reporting on this story, when you guys would speak with the media or maybe it was in court, you mentioned public safety rules exist for a reason. And Lacey, I know Desi kind of touched on it there, but what were the safety rules that were kind of at the center of this case?
Sure. As Desi mentioned, it was the Shelby County Board of Health that passed these rules, and they had the force of Alabama law, even though they were local to Shelby County. But essentially, the Board of Health and Shelby County officials determined that pools with 12-foot depth of water present a special risk. You know, in most cases, depending on the age, but you don't see regulations requiring lifeguards at 5-foot pools or 6-foot pools. But 12 feet, to anybody who's ever, you know, done the typical thing in the summer and gone down to the bottom of one, there's a lot of pressure there. And it's just more difficult to navigate even for experienced swimmers. So the county determined that two lifeguards should have been there. The rule specifically stated that pools of this size and depth at River Chase were supposed to have two elevated lifeguard chairs, which did exist at the pool. And I think one of the most effective pieces of evidence we had is the photo of the empty lifeguard chair, you know, sitting over the direct spot where Reginald went to the bottom of the pool and couldn't resurface. So it was for situations just like the one that presented on the day that Reginald drowned. He went down to the bottom of the pool, and for reasons that are still unknown, he didn't have any comorbidities or nothing showed up in his tox screen or anything like that. So he just wasn't able to resurface. And so lifeguards, the rules were also specific that it had to be Red Cross certified lifeguards. So that's specific training, both on, you know, monitoring swimmers and, you know, for example, watching everyone that comes off the slide and making sure they timely resurface. So in this case, a lifeguard, had they just simply been in the chairs like the rules required, would have been watching and would have jumped into action sooner than the bystanders. Again, their rescue attempts would have been more effective because they have training to retrieve, you know, 100-pound or 10-pound bags or whatever it is. They have training to do deep water rescues successfully. And then once you get them to the surface, how to effectively perform CPR. So at every step of this case, the lifeguards could have intervened and would have intervened under their training and would have saved Reginald.
And, you know, we've, and so many times we've talked about other cases you guys have worked in, it certainly includes this one, how difficult it can be emotionally, because you're talking with people who either their lives have been drastically affected personally or a member of their family. But we talk about Reginald here, just graduated high school. That's when you're, you know, your life is kind of starting. It's another spot to start your life. And I know his mother, Elaine, just what she must be going through. And I know she reached out to you guys, but this, the punitive damages, I wanted to talk about that. And the jury awarded $7.5 million in punitive damages. Desi, in wrongful death cases in Alabama, what is the purpose of punitive damages?
The purpose is, it is unique. It's unique to Alabama, and it doesn't focus on the person who died or what their compensatory worth was or whatever, even though Reginald was a fine young man and had his life ahead of him. But it's to deter future wrongdoing of this type. It's to preserve the sanctity of human life. And that's what one reason I'm glad to talk to you now, and Lacey and I, is that we're here to send a message about the sanctity of life in terms of what measures can be taken to prevent something like this from happening again. And just to talk about it, whether it's lifeguards or not, is to present an awareness of what can happen and how quickly things can go badly. But that's what it was about. And there are certain parameters that, you know, the courts look at in terms of the amount of punitive damages. But we were pleased with the amount that was entered. We asked the jury for $1 million for every attempt a bystander made that a lifeguard should have made, and that was between 7 and 8. And so I think that was kind of the message that they wanted to send, and the emotions of it. You know, I often like to talk. I've tried over 100 cases, but that moment when you hear that you've got a verdict, and I'm sitting there, and Lacey and I are both sitting there with the mother of this child that meant everything to her, this 18-year-old boy. And are they going to come back and rule against us? Are we going to win? And, you know, how it works where the foreman comes in with the verdict and that's given to the judge and it's read. And I'm always relieved when we get a good result, but I can't remember feeling this gratified and this happy for a client like this to have that kind of an emotional moment.
Yeah, and I know you guys take, I mean, every case personally. I could see you wear it on your shoulders, and it just means so much to you. And Lacey,
And if I could just add to that, you know, in this case in particular, and I think Desi's touched on this, but the message from the country club was that Reginald knew the risk of getting in this pool. They hung a sign saying there were no lifeguards, and yet he chose to do it anyway. So for Miss Elaine to have sat there and heard that defense for a 4-day trial, you know, a verdict in the favor of the country club would have essentially placed the blame for Reginald's death at his own feet. And as a mother, I can't imagine that. So it was emotional for all of us. It was certainly emotional for Miss Elaine, and she's got incredible strength to have gone through this. And I think we'd also be remiss to say, I mean, some of the testimony from the bystanders was emotional because, you know, they witnessed their friend drowning and dying, and all these multiple attempts to save him, and just the panic that was involved in that. You could really see some of the emotion on the witnesses' faces, but certainly for Miss Elaine, this was a personal case and a personal victory.
Yeah, and I know you were quoted as saying that the family was looking for some accountability and some answers. How important do you feel it is for families to have someone who's willing to dig into what happened? I mean, they're just looking for someone to help, right? And that, like Miss Elaine was.
Right. They just want an advocate. You know, these are our clients are people that face unimaginable circumstances or personal losses. And so it is very gratifying for us professionally to get a result like this. You know, again, Miss Elaine was very strong through the trial. There were times that she had to step out, and we explained that to the jury. I mean, there's certain parts of this trial that we don't want her to actually have to sit through.
I imagine.
But, you know, she and certain parts that she did sit through, there were emotions there, but she was very poised and handled herself very well, and I think that was reflected in the jury's verdict.
Desi, this case involved a lot of work for your team, and I know you spent quite a bit of time up there during all of this. Can you talk some about how the team effort, what it took from Tobias and Comer Law, what you put into this?
Elaine is from Mobile. She actually worked in the court system here, and which is how I first became connected with her. And that was within a week or so after the death. And so from that point forward, we've had this focus on this case. And I don't know, 15, 16, 18 depositions, we have put a lot of time and effort into it. And cases, you know, just like a football game, they have their ups and downs. And, you know, you have high moments and low moments. But, you know, we were there throughout the entire time. What was very interesting is we found two experts, one an emergency medicine physician who also specializes in water rescue and things such as that. Very interesting what he had to say and some of the statistics about it. And then a lifeguard expert, one of the top in the country. And so we put all of that into making this, you know, our burden, you know, showing the jury that this would have made a difference. And it all went towards that. But it was a and then it culminates in this trial after all those years of preparation and briefing and testimony and depositions. It culminates in this trial, which brings a resolution. And you want it to be one that you can live with. And as lawyers, we do everything we can to have that result that we think is the right result.
And finally, as we kind of wrap things up for this segment, what message would you give to families who feel like they're not getting answers after a serious incident? What's that conversation like once hopefully they give you a call? But what message would you give to families who maybe have something similar to this going on in their lives?
Yeah, you know, that's our purpose in our law practice, is to help victims of personal injury and accidents. And you always hope to avoid that. And, you know, most people, especially in the South, you know, don't want to think that they will ever be in a situation where they're going to need a lawyer or will have to go sue someone. But when those situations hit home, you do want to find that accountability and hold people responsible for it. So it's important to reach out to attorneys, particularly experienced attorneys like us at Tobias and Comer. You know, we've handled wrongful death cases, product liability, those sorts of things. But getting a lawyer involved early can help you preserve evidence and plan a course of action that doesn't always have to end in filing a lawsuit, but at least you have that guidance. Mm-hmm. And like Desi said, we try to be there every step of the way for our clients.
And of course, you know, such a big part of this, I mean, the case was about a drowning. And here we are, summertime, mm-hmm. down on the Gulf, and swimming time of season. Just a reminder, and you were mentioning it there, how quickly that can happen and how unassuming drowning can be so often. You think someone might just be, you know, down there swimming around, and it could be much more tragic than that.
Yeah, that's one of the things we try to convey, is it's quick, quiet, and subtle. Mm. And so the awareness, you know, even if there is a lifeguard, to be aware of what's going on, how quickly it can change, and everybody knows the danger. People sometimes make an assumption or whatever that people are safe, or I don't need to look at this, but it can happen in a moment.
It sure can. Well, I thank you both for coming in this morning, another edition of Law 251. For people right now listening that want to get more information about Tobias and Comer Law, TobiasComerLaw.com, great website. We have our podcast up there. You have tons of resources and information on just about everything anyone could be looking for. But that phone number, too, so 251-432-5001, people can call that 24/7, right?
Correct. Anytime. We're always happy to just discuss and consult, to give advice. You know, sometimes that's what somebody needs to hear as well, that this may not be something, or maybe it is, or we'll at least get to the bottom of that so you have some type of resolution in that regard.
Well, thank you both again for coming in. That's Desi Tobias and Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law and another edition of Law 251. And that does it for Mobile Mornings. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.